Welcome to the Stranger Still podcast. I'm Miles.
I'm Kathleen.
And we are rewatching every episode of Stranger Things ahead of the May and July two-part releases of season four. It's been 3 years since season three, so let's catch up together through it all.
Yes.
Follow us on Twitter at StrangerStill22. Check us out on podcast, Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts.
But not on Facebook.
Not on Facebook, which no. We don't have a Facebook.
And we shouldn't, you know.
Yeah, we
let Facebook die out, I say.
Yeah. All the way from sunny California, the latest passenger on our Curiosity Voyage, Season 2, Chapter 1, Mad Max.
Why do we say all the way from sunny California?
Because that's how Mr. Clark introduces Mad Max.
Oh, yeah.
In front of the class, which, by the way, isn't that just the classic, like, horrifying moment?
You never absolutely. I never switched schools, but
it's a horrifying thing to happen. It did not happen to me. We were in homeroom, and I don't remember ever having to.
They didn't call you out, thankfully.
I don't have to remember ever doing that.
And, of course, it's Mr. Clark, who we all love.
Yeah. I love that only the kids are really engaged at all in what Mr. Clark is saying. He seems like a good teacher.
I know. He seems so nice. I would have loved to have a teacher like him.
Yeah. All right. Mad Max, Season 2, Chapter 1, not Chapter 9. Close listeners of the Stranger Still podcast may recall that I called this Chapter 9. Wait for Chapter 9. I was dead wrong. It's a new book.
And I'm sure they were all judging you harshly.
They probably just turned the podcast off at that point.
Instantly. Never got through any of the other episodes. Episode 1, Season 1, they're like, oh, this guy's wrong. He don't know what he's talking about.
So let's break into the episode. Then we'll do a feeler moment, music moment, and final question of the day. So we start not in Hawkins, Indiana.
No, we start in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Boy, that's hard to say, apparently. October 1984, a year after the events of season one. Opening scene, we see these people running out of a bank with masks on, hopping into a car. A police chase ensues, and we get introduced to another lab child, you know, and she also has powers, but powers of
different powers.
Yeah. Manipulation of the mind.
Yeah. When I saw this, I was like, why are they so mad at the driver? he did what anyone would do.
She was a female driver.
The driver was a she?
Yeah.
But they were just, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then it shows the tunnel did not actually collapse.
No.
Eight or Callie.
Oh, the police driver. Okay. I thought you were talking about the getaway driver.
Okay, so the police driver was
a
man.
Yes, it was
okay,
a man.
Okay, so he's in trouble. And I was like, why are they all yelling at him? Because right? The tunnel didn't actually collapse. Callie, or Eight, had made it appear in his mind.
Yeah. How did you know her name was Callie?
Because he says, do something, Callie, the guy from the back.
Gosh, you pick up on so much more than I do.
Well, while we're watching episodes, I'm reading the synopsis.
Oh, okay.
So I get the names a little bit
better.
All
right, listeners, you'll realize throughout this that Miles is all about the details and I am all about the feelings.
That's why we make a good team. So I didn't remember that this was the first scene of the season.
Yeah, I didn't remember. No, I think I did remember that part. Yeah.
Because one of the big complaints about season two is the episode with that when we go back to see Callie or number eight again.
Yeah.
The big complaint is that episode came out of nowhere. I didn't realize or I didn't remember that the very, very first scene. We don't see her again until chapter seven, I don't think.
Wow. So we go through almost the entire season two before we see her again?
Yeah, and then we only really...
See, I think that's cool that they do that, though, because it keeps you in suspense. It's kind of like what Game of Thrones did, except for they never... they took a really long time to get back to the White Walkers.
Yeah, well, that is true. But, I mean, it's kind of interesting that we meet this character and then disappear.
Yep, and then nothing.
I will be a little bit critical of this plot line in this story. I don't want to leave Hawkins.
I agree. It felt almost like a betrayal when you see that at first. Yeah. I felt betrayed until we see that she is another one of the lab children.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm calling them, apparently,
the lab children. Yes, yes. We get the credits and we go back to the real show.
Back to our party.
Yeah, we even get the kids' theme, you know, boo doo 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 doo, which is that great theme of season one. It's just this nice warm goo that covers over us, and we say, ah, oh, yeah, connection to the magic of season one.
And it means we're all finally back together. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. What, we waited a year for in between, right?
Yeah. It was a little bit more than a year.
Okay.
It came out on 4th of July in 2016, and then it comes back around Halloween 2017. So I'm going to say this episode, all the episodes premiered on Halloween 2017.
And I mean, after how amazing season one was, we were just so eager. It just felt so good to be back with the party. Of course, rewatching it, we just jumped right back into season two. But I remember that feeling once you got to that scene with the party, all the boys together, you just felt like you were coming home. You're finally getting.
Yeah.
Back to Stranger Things.
And we have Will.
Yeah. And we have Will.
And Will is there, and he's the big through line setting up the problem, you know, that's going to happen in season two.
Yep. The problem.
He sees the storm.
Yep.
In the arcade.
So Will's back, and he's back with, we'd say flashbacks. Well, they imply later in the episode flashbacks, but really
call
they
them
are.
Episodes, yeah.
I mean, walking the line into the upside down.
Yeah. We know that he is actually connected to the upside down, but the doctors or you know the Hawkins lab, they don't think that. They think it's PTSD.
So you know that we are not done with the upside down, and you know. You find that Will is still connected, and the upside down is not done with Will.
Yeah, I did find it interesting watching this, knowing what's going to come, kind of remembering that he comments like I wasn't in control. You know, like the door opened for me, I walked out the door. Like
it's guiding him.
Like Will is almost he's part of it, mm-hmm. and then he says he goes to get his tests. You know, he's at school. This part was so good. He's at school. And it's very realistic that the kids would be kind of freaked out about the kid who had a funeral all of a sudden at school. They have, and they're, how are they taking out their emotions about that? They're picking on him. They're
zombie
putting zombie
kid.
Boy. And they're
zombie
all,
boy.
And as he's going to his appointment, they're looking at him. They're just glaring at him. No one wants to talk to him. He's a freak, you know, and that feels very real.
Yeah.
But he gets to his appointment and he says, it's going to kill. And Dr. Owen says,
he's explaining what he's seeing.
Oh, is it going to kill you? You're afraid it's going to kill you? And he goes, not me.
Everyone
else.
Yeah. So that really shows you that the upside down is using Will. It's using Will to stay connected to the real world.
Yeah, the right side up.
The right side up. Oh, naturally.
Yeah. I love the, just a quick side note here, we... Obviously, Will is going to a different type of doctor visit than we did as kids, but it feels just everything is so clunky and so pointlessly mean and sterile. You know, they're just like, get on the wait, you know, and the wait thing is this clunk, thing. And
until you get to the doctor, though.
And I know, but they're tying up these things and all the sound effects and just the angry and mean demeanor of everything in the 70s and 80s. They're just like, get these damn cattle in but then the doctor is nice and sweet.
Until you get to the doctor and he is like incredibly likable and kind and you feel like he's a good guy, which we find out that he's not. Mm-hmm. I just
fan of a Mounds bar apparently.
You know, I forgot this part of episode one. I forgot this whole dynamic, mm-hmm. but rewatching it and especially knowing, you know, who this doctor ends up being, I noticed some little things like his lab coat. Mm. It doesn't have his name on it.
Oh, okay.
And this whole episode, you never hear him called, you know, Dr. such and such. Mm-hmm. You do see, you know, you can see some degrees blurred out in the background on the wall. Mm-hmm. And then Hopper does mention, you know, the fact that he has a degree, you know, so Joyce, you should listen to him because of his degree. But you don't You don't hear him called doctor. You don't see his name tag on there at all. And even later in that scene after they leave after the appointment, mm-hmm. and it goes back and he walks downstairs to the Rip.
Yeah.
Yep. The Rip is back. It's still there.
Yeah. Well, how did it go away? It's there.
Yeah, it's still there. In fact, they're having to control it.
Yeah, they're burning it.
Yes, sending people in. And it's obviously a regular occurrence too. Oh, it's a hot one today again, yeah. huh? So, yeah, that was really cool. But when he goes down there, they don't call him doctor. They call him mm-hmm. sir. Yes, yeah. sir. How yeah. are you, sir?
Well, I mean, hey, if they're willing to conceal a Rip to a mirror dimension, then they're also willing to print or falsify a degree
That's right.
and put it
That's
on right. a wall that everyone will just purely trust for whatever reason. So, yeah. But Will does have one more episode at the end. It's
yeah.
when, while the lights and dials and numbers are flipping out at the Hawkins
yeah.
lab.
First the lab, you see that happen, and yeah. then it flashes to 1 a.m., Halloween night or Halloween day, the start of Halloween day, really, 1 a.m. October 31st.
And Will goes outside. He sees a silhouette of what we will come to know as the mind flayer. Yeah. He's not fully in control of his body. We see it out there in the lightning. It was a great shot from the trailers that we knew was coming. And it's like, oh, something's out there and something's coming for Hawkins.
Something's coming. A storm's a brewing.
Yeah. So the other kids, meanwhile, everyone's had like levels of moving past this traumatic mm-hmm. event they've had. I do like that this whole season deals with trauma. It deals with the way people react to it differently.
Yeah.
We don't come back to the, you know, to the Ghostbusters miracle hunters, even though they do get into Ghostbusters outfits later. But we don't come back to they're all experts of the upside down and everything's perfectly yeah. fine. This show, again, does a good job of just keeping things real and not taking the cheap plot points that we're used to seeing.
Yeah.
Dustin and Lucas are infatuated with this new girl.
Oh, yes.
And Mike is still sick over uh-huh. 11.
Yep. It's interesting to see the contrast, too, because Dustin and Lucas seem completely unaffected by the past mm-hmm. year, what happened a year ago.
Yeah.
In fact, neither do their parents really, right? Because you see them riding their bikes at night going home.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a big deal, but that is not the case.
Well, this is the first time we ever see Dustin's mom. We still haven't seen Lucas's parents.
No, we've never seen Lucas's parents, but yep, we meet Dustin's mom for the first time.
Yeah, and we know she's a Walter Mondale supporter against all odds. Against Reagan in 1984.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, naturally, I knew, but yeah. I was more worried about our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. The 1984 election is about to happen. It's about to be a landslide victory for Reagan and Vice President George H.W. Bush. Mike and Mike's parents, they've got a Reagan Bush sign in the front yard.
See, you just catch all these little details. Oh, yeah. It's impressive.
And so they're at the arcade while Will is having his flashbacks. Dustin and Lucas are freaking out because their high scores
have been beaten by Mad Max.
Yep,
somebody of the mysterious name Mad Max.
Yeah.
Who is Mad Max?
They were playing Dig Dug and Centipede, and Dustin has to reveal that his high scores, his precious high scores are gone. They go to the worker who tries to say, I'll tell you what happens if you get me a date with Nancy.
Mike, he's just this creepy, yeah. ugly, dirty nerd.
Yeah, Mike admirably doesn't prostitute his sister out. I love that they're playing Dig Dug and Centipede and Dragon Quest.
Yeah.
Like, it's not Pac-Man, Asteroids, Space Invaders. Again, Stranger Things does a good job of making things real. It's Hawkins, Indiana.
Yeah.
They don't have, and they're kids who are nerds. They're not playing Pac-Man all the time. Pac-Man's old by this point. Kids don't play something for 4 years, you know? And I just love that. We're not just making a show where we have a bunch of 80s stuff in it. We get to point and go, I remember that. Oh, I remember that. Like, we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Dig Dug and Centipede. This is actually in the middle of the video game Crash.
Oh.
So,
like, this is set when Crash comes out?
No.
Wait, I don't understand. I don't understand the words. No. I'm not a nerd. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I mean, it's not like a famous thing or anything, but video games in like 78, 79... To 80, 82, okay. They are a huge deal. They explode out of the market. Mm-hmm. Everybody is seeing this as a business potential, and they make too many games, too crappy of games, and they lose the trust of the buyers and the consumers, and video games crash in the mid-80s as a business. You know, the arcades start to go down around 82, 83, and this is 84, so arcades have started to go down. It's not really until home consoles such as Nintendo come later in the decade that really get things truly going. We have, there's this little up and there's this little down. That's why all the old video games like Atari and Taito and all those ones, or whatever that one's called, like those companies are gone. They crashed. They made a bunch of bad games, disrespectfully stitched together for the stupid kids. and they went out of business, deservedly so.
Gosh, way to bring in the history. That's super cool.
You're welcome. You're welcome. But I guess it is a kind of a side note. Dustin's mad that they've lost Mad Max. They find out Mad Max is a girl.
They
actually say girls don't play video games.
Girls don't play video games. That's right. Obviously, like instantly just enamored by the idea of her. Yeah.
They need to spy on her to confirm that she is actually the one playing the video games.
And she, of course, notices. Stop spying, you.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Stalker. What does she write? What's on the little note that she writes then?
She says, stop spying me, creeps.
I like the scene where they actually see her for the first time and she goes to sit down and all of them are like mouth agape, staring back at her.
Yeah.
Just nerdy kids. Infatuated with the new girl.
I love Max. She is a great character. Mike doesn't care for her. We're going to talk
fact,
about it more.
He's mad about her too. Yeah.
He feels like this is taking away from 11. He doesn't want Max to replace 11, and he's not happy with her the rest of the season.
So, well, let's go to the next new character that we meet, Bob.
I thought you were going to say Billy.
Oh, no. We meet him barely. Oh, he's like the hot older brother,
with
of course.
Denim clad pecs.
Oh, yeah. Denim clad ass. He got a sweet mullet going on. He's clearly a bad boy smoking a cigarette.
Okay, but we don't really, you're right. Yeah. We barely, that's all we have. Okay.
Yeah, we can find more about him later. The other beloved new character we get is Bob.
Bob the Brain.
Bob the Brain. And, you see Joyce and Bob are dating. Mm-hmm. And I like how you have that throughout watching this, you have that the hints of the sexual tension between Hopper and Joyce. Yeah. Clearly they want the audience to want them to be together. It's the same with Nancy and Jonathan, too. Nancy is with Steve, but you feel that both her and Jonathan are attracted to each other, and you want that to happen. I kind of like that.
Yeah, but like Steve, making Steve a likable character complicates things. And Bob is not.
He's so likable.
Yeah, another good thing. The show keeps it like he's a great stepdad or stepboyfriend or whatever. Jonathan will clearly love him.
He's a nice guy. He's a provider. Mm-hmm. Bob the Brain. They didn't call him that for no good reason.
He's got his video camera out. He's got the camcorders going. I love that moment when we see Joyce at the kitchen with the old VHS camera on her, because that's a nice warm, like we're in the 80s feeling, kind of jolts us back there.
Yeah, this is. He even mentions this is the stuff of the future.
Yeah.
I like that little dynamic there.
And so he's a big nerd, loves Mr. Mom, loves Kenny Rogers.
Yeah. Who would like Kenny Rogers? Ooh, Kenny Rogers.
Yeah. And like Winona, the actor, Sean Astin, is a famous 80s actor.
Yeah, playing in the Goonies.
Playing an adult in the 80s now.
Yeah. What is he in? He's in the Goonies.
The Goonies and a bunch of those movies. I mean, there's a big generation knows him from the Goonies.
Yeah.
Our generation knows him as Samwise Gamgee from Lord of the Rings. And this generation knows him as Bob from Stranger Things.
Oh, gosh. All those memes that came out was like the moment that you realize Bob is the guy from 50 First Dates. And we're like, what? No.
Samwise Gamgee did not help Frodo. to take the ring all the way to Mordor to destroy Sauron and save Middle Earth just to be recognized as Bob and Doug.
We were just like enraged by that meme. Like, what are these young kids saying? Yeah. Oh, gosh.
It's hilarious.
Oh, yes.
And the doctor, Paul Reiser, was also, he's the bad guy in Aliens. So we got a lot of the famous young 80s actors coming to Stranger Things as old adults. It's a great, wonderful little thing. I love
it. Yeah, it really is.
Oh, Bob. We're going to talk a lot about Bob. Let's quickly touch on Nancy and Steve. They go to Barb's parents' house, mm-hmm. who is, this is Justice for Barb meme, right. which was a big, big, big deal during season one. Those people get their scene here. Yes. Nancy's upset about Barb.
I know. Again, justice for Barb. She hasn't forgotten, even though everybody else seems to have forgotten about Barb. Mm-hmm. She still cares about Barb. Like, she's going and eating dinner regularly with mm-hmm. Barb's parents. That's such a sweet moment. But then you find out that they have hired a private detective.
Yeah.
And it's that conspiracy theorist guy that comes to Hopper at the police station that says, "Look, we found this Russian child spy."
Mm-hmm. Yep. Murray is the guy's name, Murray Bauman, and he's another thorn in the side of the thing that Hopper has set up. You know, Hopper got into the car at the end of season one. We were talking about, like, what does that ever come up with? Well, he gets in the car and he is now part of the cover up. Yep. He's part of this cover up.
And we find out the answer in this episode. Yeah. He's part of the cover up. That's what they were doing, cleaning house.
Yeah, Murray comes to Hopper and basically has a lot of it. Has, you know, there's a little girl. She broke somebody's arm. She broke a door at the grocery store.
Ted admitted that she was living in his basement.
Yeah, he thinks she's a Russian spy, which the Russians are involved here, of course. But and Hopper doesn't help him. He covers it up and
just writes him off like, "Oh yeah, and I heard, you know, there's a man that comes down your chimney at Christmas time."
Yeah. But Hopper knows very well.
Oh, he knows. Yeah.
And he is on edge. He goes out to check the pumpkins and the pumpkin patch. Yeah. They're all rotted. He hears a bird in the thing, and he is like, uh-oh.
He's still on alert. He does not believe that things are over. I like that. I like that he goes and he investigates the pumpkins, which really was just to get away from this conspiracy theorist. Mm-hmm. But he's not just writing it off, and I like that. They're not pretending like, oh, they think the whole world is fine now. Like, he knows that things have not gone back to normal. He hears something in the cornfield. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't see anything, but it's just that setting it up for more ill deeds to come.
Yeah. And so while we're thinking, gosh, he just, you know, he betrayed the kids. He betrayed Eleven. He set up a deal with the bad guys. But like Lando, we do see he is harboring.
He redeems himself.
Redeems himself. He is actively going against the will of the Hawkins lab. While even though he's telling Joyce to follow their stuff and telling everybody and rejecting the conspiracy guys, he is opposed to the lab because he is harboring Eleven in a cabin in the woods.
Back. She's back.
She's got hair. She's got overalls. She's ready to roll.
I love that. I really love that moment. And like, it's very subtle. I mean, he's closed off about his feelings, but you can tell that he feels this like fatherly connection to mm-hmm. her. Very subtle, but it is there. I just really like that. Oh gosh. Hopper, he's my favorite.
Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to talking about the relationship between Hopper and Eleven, which I think is a true heartbeat of the next couple of seasons.
Yes, it truly is. It really is. All right. So that concludes the end of chapter one, season two.
Yeah. Roll the credits, baby.
Oh yeah. You want me to actually roll the credits?
Please roll the credits.
Start reading off all of the...
yeah. And for the remaining 6 minutes, Kathleen will read you the credits. All right. No, every episode ends with Kathleen's feeler moment of the episode and Miles's music moment of the episode. What do you got for Mad Max feelers?
So my feeler moment was just that moment between that exchange between Will and Jonathan, when Jonathan is just being this exemplary older brother. Mm-hmm. You know, Will is just tired of being treated like a freak, like he's going to break. And Jonathan, he goes, you know what? You are a freak, but it's good to be a freak. It makes you special. Nobody who was normal ever accomplished anything. I just love that he has this true love and feeling of protectiveness with his little brother. And it's a really sweet moment. I liked that.
I like that too. Music moment is the score song called Eulogy, which is used perfectly in this episode. At the moment when Nancy is in the bathroom crying for Barb, and is used really well through this season. We're going to talk about some other uses of it. It's a unique sound. It's got this, I've tried to find out exactly what this synth is doing. You know, we're playing it here, but it's like it's almost like a vocal Peter Frampton type thing. Like someone's doing the what?
Yeah, I like that.
And I think that is what it is. You know, I went onto some EDM, you know, music boards on the internet, and it seems like some people say that that probably is
that they actually
what it
did
is.
It like vocals that they
that they're processing through, you know, through their synthesizers and
that's
stuff.
That's really interesting.
It's really cool. It's so beautiful. It is such a beautiful melody. And they actually go into the 11 theme, not on the score itself, but in the show they go into the 11 theme, which is one of the most beautiful melodies.
That is an absolutely beautiful melody. And it instills this feeling of like melancholy, but also hope. And it's so similar to, the chords are so similar to the song that's played in the final episode of season one, that moment when, you know, first they think Will's going to die, but then he wakes up. And then also, you know, that song is playing with throughout when Mike's parents arrive on the scene of the school, and just very sad, sweet melody. I really like that.
Yeah, and that song, of course, Moby, When It's Cold, I'd Like to Die.
Yes.
Great title. I feel like they must have been inspired by that.
Absolutely.
To do this.
I think it's purposefully similar to like showcase important events.
Yeah. And I love that the melody is so slow. And, you know, we talk about the 11 theme this way, too, about how it's really like someone finding the melody slowly. I always picture it like someone pecking at a piano with one finger.
Like it's getting created. Like you can feel them creating the melody.
Because that's 11. Oh, that's 11. Yeah. You know, bum, 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 bum.
Learning she's discovering herself and the world she lives in.
Yeah. And that part, so the eulogy, the vocal synth, which is going to come up a lot in season two, goes into the 11 theme while Mike is staring at the thing, and Mike has that sweet moment where he goes into the into 11's area, gets the walkie-talkie and reveals to us, the audience, that he has called
every
352
days.
This is the 353rd day, and I just want to tell you, I'm still here. Like that, all of this is so good, but the music makes it even more.
Yeah,
to me.
Because you're more able to feel along what the characters are feeling, and I love that.
It's one of the reasons Stranger Things endures: the acting of Millie Bobby Brown, the acting of Finn Wolfhard, the writing around it, and this beautiful music.
Yes. It ties it all together. It's so necessary. If not for the music, I feel it wouldn't be as good.
Yeah. We said in the last time, hail to the king, John Williams. We bow down at the altar of John Williams. But if this was strings, I just don't think that it would be what it is.
Agreed.
All right, what's your final question of the episode here, and we'll get out everybody's hair.
Well, my question is, who is your favorite new character from season two? And we had a couple new ones, Bob, Mm-hmm. We had Max.
Yeah.
We had the doctor. What's his name?
Dr. Owens.
And then we had the investigator guy.
Murray Bauman.
Bauman. And there's one more.
Billy.
Oh, yeah. Max's brother. We see him, but we don't really get to know or meet him truly.
So we're answering this in the context of this episode, right? Like,
yes.
Introducing
this episode.
Because, I mean, full disclosure, Max is one of my favorite characters of all of Stranger Things.
Oh.
And I will praise and I love talk. I can't wait to talk more about Max.
Wow.
But this episode is Bob. He's got
he's
the tucked
so
in t-shirt, the belt. He's into Mr. Mom. He goes, woo! You know, and I love that there's just, you know, a step parent who's not like the evil plot device.
Yeah.
You know, it's so refreshing. It's so sweet. He's great for Joyce. You know, spent last season, as we talked about, at a 10 on the on the frantic scale.
Yeah.
And now she's getting rewarded. Remember when when the phone rings and Bob knows, you know, oh, Joyce doesn't like it when the phone rings. It might be Will from the Upside Down.
Yeah.
But he says, hey, let it go. Let it go to the answering machine or whatever he says.
Yeah. He's just an all-around good guy. Good, sweet guy. And you know how I like nice things.
Yes.
He's just such a nice addition to the season two. I think he's my favorite. Based on this episode, I think if we were to base it on the whole of season two, it might not be necessarily. Well, you know what? No, it would still be Bob.
We can come back to it too.
We'll come back to it.
I mean, have you watched this since 2017?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I have not. I thought maybe you'd pull a wild card and say Billy's denim clad ass, but
that's certainly a nice. Addition to season two. Get that ass in here.
He's in season three a lot.
How about
too,
his mullet, though?
Hey, in 2017, when this show came out, that mullet was like the top of the Reddit boards. Whoa, look at that mullet. Now we got mullets. We got mullets out there. Our neighbors across the way got mullets.
Yeah, it's so popular now. So you think Stranger Things brought it back?
I think it was going to come back. Yeah. It, all this is cyclical. Ugh.
See, that's one thing that I would be okay if it never came back.
Well, it's back, baby.
Oh, gosh.
No, but we'll definitely talk about it. Having not seen this again, knowing what is going to happen. Now, I don't want to, like, I know what this is called, a rewatch, so we're not going to, like, spoil everything.
Hopefully everybody listening has already seen all of Stranger Things.
The title of this show is Rewatch, so you shouldn't be. But knowing what that Bob is not going to be with us for the long haul is making, like, I'm worried about myself rewatching this.
Oh, gosh. I tell you, I'm going to lose it at that moment.
The lasting legacy of this season. Like, it's I said, I couldn't remember some stuff, right? I very, very clearly remember the feelings of Bob. All right. Well, that is the episode Mad Max. We'll be back for the rest of season two and starting with chapter two, written, ready for actual Halloween. Excited.
Right.
Words
escape us. We're so excited.
Yes, my name is Miles.
I'm Kathleen.
And good night.